Good morning, everyone.
Did you get enough sleep last night?
Some people are down in Bellingham because Norman Fisher is down there doing his retreat. So I hope they're enjoying their retreat, and I hope they didn't sleep in, forgetting about the time change. There's a very well-known Zen story that I first read as a teenager in a book called Zen Flesh, Zen Bones by Paul Reps, which may ring a bell for the elderly amongst us. And the story goes like this. Maybe you've heard it in another situation. A man traveling across a field encountered a tiger. He fled, the tiger after him. Coming to a precipice, he caught hold of the root of a wild vine and swung himself out over the edge. The tiger sniffed at him from above. Trembling, the man looked down to where, far below, another tiger awaited to eat him. Only the vine sustained him. Two mice, one white and one black, little by little, started to gnaw away at the vine. The man saw a luscious strawberry near him. Grasping the vine with one hand, he plucked the strawberry with the other. How sweet it tasted. Sound familiar? Maybe you've heard it around. It's probably everywhere plastered on the internet these days. At first glance, it seems to be about living our life in the moment, which is a good thing, right? Live our life in the moment. Enjoy that strawberry. It'll be the last one you ever eat. I don't know how old this story is or where it comes from. I don't know where Paul Reps dug it up. But it reminds me of a koan, one of those Zen short stories that we pick up for practice. A koan in a very famous collection known as the Mumonkan, or the Gateless Gate. And this is case 5 in the Mumonkan. And it, too, is another story of being caught in an impossible situation. And it goes like this. Xiangyang's a great teacher. Xiangyang said, "It's like a man hanging in a tree by his teeth over a precipice. His hands grasp no branch, his feet rest on no limb. And at the bottom of the tree, someone comes and asks him, 'What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?' If the man in the tree does not answer, he fails in his responsibility to the person below. And if he does answer, he falls and loses his life. Now, what shall he do?" Indeed, what shall he do? Or maybe more to the point, what shall you do? Koans are very personal. They're meant to touch us deeply. And each one is really about your life. This particular koan doesn't have a tiger waiting below to eat you. And the question of Bodhidharma coming from the West, we'll talk about just a little bit later. But I think the sense is really clear. This is an impossible place. It is an impossible decision. We all, at some point in our life, have looked down between our feet to see the ground we thought was beneath our feet is gone. And so we hang on by our fingers to something. Our mind, either frozen or in full panic. And somehow, though, we must move. We must make a decision, but there is no clear path. Indeed, all paths seem really dark. I think today of the Syrian mothers and fathers, for example, who must decide whether to flee the violence of their homeland and perhaps drowned on the way to some place where they can't even imagine where they're going to end up, or stay, you know, hoping to avoid the bullets and bombs. This is a really terrible situation, an impossible situation. And maybe it's a really an extreme example of these impossible decisions that some people must make. But at times we are all caught between a rock and a hard place, and we despair. No clear path, no clear answer. You know, as with many of these koans, it's helpful to have some background of the main characters to appreciate the kind of direction that the koan is pointing us. Xiangyan, the guy who presents this koan for us, Xiangyan was known to have a brilliant mind. And he was a very well-respected and well-known scholar monk in his earlier days. But he wasn't satisfied with his knowledge, memorizing the sutras, all the commentaries. And so he began to practice Zen, first under a very famous teacher named Baijiang Huaihe. And then under another teacher, Guishan Lingyo. And one day, his second teacher, Guishan, told Xiangyan, "Everything you say is what you have memorized from the scriptures or the commentaries. Other than what you have memorized from these ancient texts, or even from the talks of this old monk, I want to hear a single statement. When you were a baby and did not discriminate east from west, north or north from south, right now, from this mind before discrimination, say something." However, even after his years of study and practice, Xiangyan was unable to answer. He then asked his teacher for the answer. But like all good teachers, Guishan refused, saying, "What I would say is my own. How could it benefit you? If I answered, I'm afraid I'd destroy your own path, and later you would never forgive me." So, in frustration, Xiangyan abandoned his many books and his texts, left his teacher's monastery, and lived as a hermit on another mountain where he tended the grave of Nanyang, who was another famous Zen teacher. And there, Xiangyan lived a very simple life. One day, as the story goes, he was sweeping, and a pebble flew up and struck a stalk of bamboo. At the sound of it striking, puck, Xiangyan dropped everything and experienced a great awakening. From this background story, and I've only really given a very brief summary of his life, his early life, I think we can glean that book study and knowledge, while it may be useful, will not help us. when we're dangling off the cliff of crisis or hanging by a thread to our life as we know it. This koan by Shangyang asks us to be where no one wants to be. In crisis, hanging in a tree by our teeth over a precipice. Our hands grasp no branch. Our feet rest on no limb. The doctor phones you to come in to discuss the test results. Come in right away. Your son refuses to stop using drugs and is starting to become violent. Your employer suddenly announces, Friday is your last day. And maybe your beloved is leaving for good. Or maybe something seemingly less major kind of throws you into a crisis. The car won't start, and you're going to be really late for work. Isn't it amazing how little things can sometimes just throw us into a crisis? I remember once I was driving Norman Fisher, the teacher who ordained both Kate and I. I was driving him from a retreat at UBC to a restaurant where all the people had gathered to meet him. This is when we used to do this many years ago. Driving along in my old, our old Honda Civic station wagon, many years ago. And got partway there and the car just stopped in the middle of the street. Didn't go. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, there's like 25 people waiting to have dinner with Norman, right? The honored guest. And my car just broke down. Hanging by my teeth. My feet on no limb. My expectation of delivering Norman, I'm kind of flailing around. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And Norman turns and looks out the window. He said, let's have pizza. And so we go, this is on 4th, we go into this little pizza place where they serve pizza. And I had no phone, of course. This would be, you know, Kate, I still don't have a cell phone. And so I, you know, go in there, we order pizza, I order the phone, of course it worked out. Eventually, I think we did get to the restaurant, but everyone else had eaten. But maybe that's one solution. Go have pizza. So perhaps, maybe you're in a crisis right now. Or maybe you know someone who's caught in an impossible situation. Happens to all of us, of course, right? Even those who are successful, by all accounts. You know, they have a loving partner, they've achieved good careers, they're healthy, maybe their kids are doing all right. Even they can find themselves deeply struggling and not showing it to the world. There are many, many ways that our carefully constructed life starts to fall apart. What to do? Shangyang's character is hanging onto his life by his teeth, hands and legs flailing about, unable to gain purchase. We don't know how high up this man is hanging. Maybe he'll fall to his death, or maybe just break some bones. Certainly, when we're in crisis, it can feel like death is really possible. Maybe our actual death,
or maybe the death of our life as we know it. But the fact remains, this man is hanging on by his teeth. Oh, this way a second. Are you hanging on to the edge of your seat? Is it someone coming in, or Kate just
yeah,
talked?
It looks like two people.
Two people.
Okay. Oh, okay. To every being.